I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
You know those times when it's just like, you can't help it. It's cold outside and your nipples can cut glass in whatever shirt. It happens to men too. You're wearing a dress shirt.
Yeah.
Embarrassing sometimes. I think probably more for ladies. I don't get that embarrassed about it, but sometimes when some people acknowledge it, and you're like, I'm literally in a
I feel like I've never seen it on a man before.
Oh, really? Yeah, we would get it as well, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, more like, I imagine those men who enjoy a form-fitted garment.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. That happens to women all the time, though, especially women who don't wear bras. Our free-spirited hippies named me.
Well, then also, like, I remember those times when we're in, like, you know, when I was doing Rent, when any girl would sing Take Me or Leave Me, they had to wear this, like, white sports bra tank top thing, and it had a dragon on it, and in the number... When you're doing any kind of physical activity, your body can respond. And it was just very, some girls were requested to wear like covers. So they didn't. Anyway, we were having sushi yesterday and there were young woman in who was walking toward us. And she was just, it was just one of those moments where I was like, what a memorable moment, lady. Thank you for today.
Yeah, she was living her free-spirited life.
She was.
Well, she was so nice to look at because we're going on day 9 that Lisa, my girlfriend, is not home.
I thought she was home because I saw you today in a different car, I thought, but I didn't realize she had the other one.
No, I drove her car. I both the cars.
I see. Oh, no.
And you guys, I'm telling you something. I made an Instagram video about this, but I will say it again. I have really come to the place where if Lisa ever tried to break up with me, it would never happen. I love her. I miss her. We'd have to get through any of our issues. Uh-huh. I don't care what her feelings are on the matter. I love you, Lisa. And I miss you. I miss my bud.
And so what's happening? When is she
returning?
Well,
first of all, my whole life is taking care of 3 dogs. That's all my life consists of now.
Who does it normally? Lisa?
Yeah, but we share responsibilities. And when I say that, I mean Lisa. Yeah.
Lisa does it all.
Yeah. So now I'm forced to do all the laundry.
And by the way, this isn't just the dogs. You have to, one dog has special needs, so you have to give it pills and things. And
oh my God. I have the most high maintenance dogs. I don't know how I got stuck with this. One needs medicine. Yeah. One has anxiety. One needs a thunder jacket. Both of them like to sleep in the bed. I have no room. One likes to spoon me while I'm sleeping.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, can you get off of me? Then one of the dogs bit through his collar, bit through the other dog's collar.
Uh-oh.
So now they don't even have their proper walking vests.
Oh, no.
Honestly, I'm giving him up. You can find him at Pawworks later on today. Lucky Bruno and Rocco.
Oh, I'll take him.
Get a family.
All right. Well, I guess it's time for some news on the beat. But coming up on this show, we, you know, I think I told you guys this before, but in case you're a new listener, I host the reunions for Dance Moms. So what Andy Cohen does for Housewives, I do for Dance Moms. And we'll be chatting with new Dance Mom, Ashley. She's gotten a lot of heat on the show from Abby. Abby really loves to pick on her. And specifically... her daughter as well. So she'll join us later in the show to kind of chat about how it's been to be part of the ALDC and working with Abby Lee. Now that Abby Lee is back in full effect. And of course, David Hackenford, our favorite legal expert, he's going to come and talk about the Kevin Spacey drama and the Jeffrey Epstein drama. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of headlines that need some legal unpacking. But till we get to that, it's time for some news on the beat. So Michaela Gordon, what are people talking about?
All right, guys. Well, multi-millionaire Jeffrey Epstein was indicted yesterday, accused of operating a sex trafficking ring in which he sexually abused dozens of underage girls. Now, Epstein, 66, is not only accused of paying girls as young as 14 to have sex with him, but federal prosecutors say he paid some of his victims to recruit other girls for him to abuse. Now, Epstein pleaded not guilty to 2 charges. He faces up to 45 years in prison if convicted of both counts. Now, our legal expert, David Hackenford, joins us in 40 minutes to help us break down this case and another that took the news cycle by storm yesterday, Kevin Spacey. Mm. All right, guys. In the United States, Sunday's U.S. Women's National Soccer Team victory in the 2019 World Cup ranked as one of the highest rated soccer telecasts in the history of the sport. About 14 million people watched on TV in the U.S. on Sunday, according to Nielsen ratings. With Fox's streaming viewership added to the total, about 14.3 million people tuned to the network for the U.S.-Netherlands match. An additional 1.6 million viewers watched it in Spanish on Telemundo. Telemundo. Now, the strong ratings back up what was observable on Sunday, widespread enthusiasm for the U.S. women's national team. Now, last year's Men's World Cup final between France and Croatia averaged about 11.4 million views on Fox, which means the U.S. women drew a 22% bigger audience in the States. Now, in 2015, the Women's World Cup final was played in the evening and was a huge ratings draw with about 25 million viewers watching on Fox, which now holds the record. All right, guys. Well, queer women like Megan Rapinoe were making... Did I do that right?
Nope. Rapinoe.
I swear
like
to God.
Like a Pinot Noir.
Megan Rapinoe.
Yeah.
Is her name.
Yes.
Rapinoe. If you guys weren't listening yesterday, I think I butchered that name 48 times. And I was watching the soccer game. I love her. Let's try it again. Well, queer women like Megan Rapinoe... Thank God. What if I messed it up again? We're making a splash at the World Cup this weekend. A lesbian couple made history at Wimbledon, becoming the first couple to play doubles together in a Grand Slam tournament. Now, Belgian tennis players Alison van Uytvanck and Griet Minnen have been a couple for 3 years. And while they were in the news at last year's Wimbledon when Uytvanck kissed Minnen after... Okay, you know what? These names, just play soccer and get rid of the names. After winning a match against reigning champion Garbine Muguruza, this year they became the first same-sex couple to play doubles together at a major tennis tournament. Now, Uytvanck and Minnen, I think that name changed about three times, and Minnen won their match over British players Katie Swan and Freya Christie last week before losing in their second round to Chinese pair Chan Ho Ching and Letitia Chan, according to Time. Now, while Minnen, 21, said that reaction to the relationship between her and van Uytvanck has been more positive than negative, they are still careful when playing in areas that aren't as accepting of LGBTQ people. All right, you guys, well, I want to remind you of more girl power happening. We've got Cyndi Lauper at the Hollywood Bowl July 12th. If you would like to see your girl just having fun, head on over to WeAreChannelQ.com because it is a show that you do not want to miss. And also, while you're there, make sure you check out the whole summer schedule of what's happening with the new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Coming up this hour, we're going to be chatting with David Hackenfarr, who's our legal expert, about those big cases that were making headlines yesterday. Kevin Spacey and Jeffrey Epstein. Kevin Spacey, we know, the big-time actor who was accused of basically sexual assault and sexual misconduct. I can't even remember now what the exact allegations were, but definitely it was part of the Me Too male moment that was happening. And Jeffrey Epstein, millionaire, multimillionaire, who is accused of basically running a sex trafficking ring for young girls. So we'll get into that in just a little bit. But on a positive note, you know, it was London Pride. Did you see any video or pictures from it?
I didn't, but I did just hear some audio that we're going to play once we talk about this story, because I love this story.
Yeah, so London Pride happened. You know who was there?
No.
Billy Porter was there performing.
Oh, yeah.
Renee Zellweger showed up pumping her new movie, Judy. Sam Smith actually marched in the parade.
Oh, wow.
Actually, yeah, on the ground. He said it was the most proud he was to be a queer man.
That's amazing. Is that his first Pride?
I think it was sort of among the people in that way.
Yeah.
To just be in the parade. It's a very different vibe when you're in the parade and, you know, there you are and you're walking with, you know, whatever organization you're walking with. Anyway, so, you know, with the Pride celebration, something that's shocking for a lot of people who come out to Pride for the first time is there's always people there protesting.
Every time.
There's people there with religious protests, with, you know, just, you name the most horrific thing you can think of, they've created a banner or a sign that they can hold and talk about this. So, an inclusion reverend interrupted an anti-gay preacher at Pride in London on Saturday to spread a message of love. And her name is Reverend Katie Botley. She marched alongside her daughter with faith group Christians at Pride over the weekend. But after the parade, she noticed this anti-gay preacher on the steps of St. Martin in the Fields. And she says, "I decided I wasn't having any of it." She told Gay Star News this, and she said, "I said to my daughter, wait there," borrowed her pride flag and stood in front of the hate preacher with the flag held high. Here's the audio of what a little piece of what she had to say.
Jesus loves you.
She went on to say, Jesus loves you. Jesus has nothing to say about homosexuality, but everything to say about love. God is love.
Let me tell you something. She is a bigger, more loving woman than I am, because when we saw those protesters in LA, I felt it was my responsibility to just be so provocative with my big gay fan and my big gay body. And our social media girl here, hi Marnie, ran over to take photos for me. And I felt like they were so obnoxious, but there was this one boy and he's so sweet. And I don't know what his name is. I don't know what he was doing, but he had this sign and it said, "This Christian loves all, happy gay pride."
Yeah.
And he was standing with them. And I feel like that's the most important reminder that you can give these people, is like, Jesus loves you too, even though you're being hateful to us and you're at our parade protesting.
It's interesting because they also attend the AIDS walk. So when you have men, women, and children and every expression under the sun there who are marching against this sort of global illness and disease and trying to eradicate it, they're there with the same signs.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like it's just a very, very insensitive topic. But I think oftentimes we talk about this a lot. It's really tricky for people who come from faith-based backgrounds to hold on to it, because they sometimes feel so excommunicated from their faith.
Yeah.
Because of what some people say about God's feeling about them.
Well, a point that Reverend Kate also made that I try to make every time we talk about it is, she's saying you're literally reading and believing a book that says you can't eat prawns, slavery is okay. Like, there are so many thoughts theologically that just don't make sense anymore. And I wish that they just saw that with homosexual people as well.
I think historically, throughout the ages, there's always been a need to kind of eradicate or oppress those that were other. You know, whether you consider the biblical times where they just wanted people who could produce offspring for bigger armies or bigger populations, make them a stronger nation. It just kind of is one of those things where, yes, I'm a little bit, I've met too many people around the world who've had the same experience I had for me to believe that this is something that's wrong. Big ups to you, Reverend Kate. And if you're ever in the U.S., come on Channel Q in the Morning Beat. We'd love to have a chit-chat with you. But listen, could Kevin Spacey be getting a jail out of free card? What do you think about this, Michaela?
Yeah, find out the shocking revelations when our legal expert, David Hackenfarr, joins us next.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
All right, so there's some headlines that are getting a little too heady with the legal jargon. And we want to understand what the heck is happening with Kevin Spacey. So we bring in our legal genius, David Hackenfarr from Pride Legal, to join us and talk about this. Now, welcome back to the Morning Beat, David.
Thanks for having me, guys.
So, all right. So everyone, you know, Kevin Spacey was kind of beloved for a long time. I know that back in the early 2000s when I was doing theater, he was doing The Iceman Cometh. And there were a lot of jokes about Kevin Spacey Cometh, because he apparently was quite closeted at the time. And I don't think even until recently that he, quote unquote, came out or whatever. But he got accused of sexual assault. Basically, a young man who said Kevin Spacey got him drunk and that he groped him in a Nantucket, Massachusetts bar back in 2016. Now, they had a hearing yesterday, but his testimony from that hearing has been stricken from the record. So what do you know about this case and what's going on?
Well, yesterday was a pretrial hearing where Kevin Spacey wasn't in attendance in the court, but his right. lawyer was. Before the pretrial hearing had started, the judge did what normal judges do, is he has all witnesses step out of the courtroom so they don't hear each other.
Gotcha.
So the alleged victim, I should say, who was a young boy at the time, not a young man, I believe he was 16 years old.
Oh, boy.
Was testifying, and then Kevin Spacey's lawyer asked him, well, what can you tell me about the cell phone which you sent your girlfriend text messages that night about what happened?
Right.
You sent your girlfriend videos. So then they asked him, well, have you ever erased anything off it? And he pleaded the fifth.
Oh.
Oh.
Now, can I ask you a question? Were they able to contact the girlfriend, and was she supposed to be a witness as well in the case?
She could be a witness to the case. She should be. I think at this point she'd be a very important witness.
But pleading the fifth is interesting, because why? Especially if you're telling the truth.
Well, whenever you don't want to admit to a crime, you could plead the fifth, and it would be a crime to erase evidence.
That's right. And actually, when he was on the stand, he actually denied deleting anything from his phone. However, when the prosecutor asked him if he was aware that destroying evidence is a felony under Massachusetts law, he answered, "I am now."
Uh-oh.
Whoopsie.
Yeah, maybe you think he just didn't know. I mean, is that something that you're like, I didn't know it was a criminal?
Again, if he's 16, imagine this, right? So also, this speaks to a lot of like suburb culture.
Yeah.
In Nantucket. Nantucket, for those listening, whatever, it's kind of like the Hamptons. It's where rich people go to vacation. So many of my friends
I've been there many a time.
Right.
Never.
It's very like your boating shoes, you know what I'm saying? Like your khaki shorts, your polos. In those communities, you hear about underage drinking because it's like, oh, it's fine as long as he does it at the house. It's that kind of vibe,
got
right?
It.
So here's Kevin Spacey at a bar with a 16-year-old boy drinking. Now imagine yourself at 16. You're getting drunk with perhaps someone, maybe he knew him from House of Cards. And then let's say that this boy himself, it does identify as heterosexual, gets into a situation where he's drunk. Kevin Spacey, who he maybe admires, makes some advances. He videos some things, not sure what to do with it. And in hindsight, looks at what he videoed and is like, ooh, that makes me look how, you know, he's still a victim.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think he may have deleted it because he felt guilty for perhaps engaging in that. But at 16 and drunk, I'm not sure that he could even give consent, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Well, you know, there's always going to be a difference between regretting something.
Yeah.
And, oh God.
But even if he had, at 16, consented to Kevin Spacey's advances, is that still statutory rape, though? If it was, let's say, 16, mm-hmm. so Kevin would still be in trouble, technically.
That's an interesting question. I'm not sure of what the law is, the law of in consent is in Massachusetts, but generally, as a society, we like to say, at a certain point, you have reached the age where you can give consent.
Right.
Some states are 18, some states are 16, some states are 14.
Right.
Can I switch it up a little bit and talk about now somebody else who is in a lot of hot water? We can talk about it when we come back. We're discussing Jeffrey Epstein and what's happening with him. Now, this story gets really deep.
Yeah.
And it's very complicated for multiple reasons.
I mean, you hear about these things in like what? Law and Order? It sounds like something Michaela would guest star on.
This is the house
of horrors.
I hate
that you said that would be something I would guest star on.
Yes, you would be like the attorney and you would give it to them.
Sex rings are my thing. Got it. Book me. I'm blessed.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Now, we are still with David Hackenfarr from Pride Legal, talking now about the hot button issue that has got everyone's brain racked. Jeffrey Epstein, the multimillionaire. He's billionaire. That's right, with a B. Well, he is Nancy Pelosi calling for the resignation of a cabinet level member of the Trump administration. Here's what happened. So Jeffrey Epstein, he pled not guilty Monday after he was indicted on charges that he operated a sex trafficking ring in which he sexually abused dozens of underage girls. By the way, he's 66 years old. He was arrested Saturday night at Teterboro Airport in New Jersey aboard his private jet upon returning from Paris. By the way, can you imagine? You get off your plane and you're right. If they're getting you at the airport, they think you're going to a flight risk, for sure. Anyway, later that evening, federal agents executed a search warrant of his mansion in New York City, and they seized a vast trove of lewd photographs from young-looking women or girls, prosecutors said in a bail memorandum. Now, he's charged with one count of sex trafficking of minors and one count of conspiracy to engage in sex trafficking of minors. He faces, right now, up to 45 years in prison if convicted of these charges, which carry no mandatory minimum sentences.
Can I just say this before you tell us everything? Because what I thought was interesting, when you came in, you were like, I don't think you guys understand how big of a deal this is. And I really didn't understand until you really started breaking it down
the
for
history.
Us. But can you talk to us sort of from the beginning to now and why it's such a big deal?
It affects the royal family in England. It affects our current president. It affects a previous president. This is major stuff. There are peoples whose lives have been shattered by this man who runs in very powerful circles. This is a big deal. Just the fact that this radio station is even talking about it.
Yeah.
Is a big deal.
He was basically, he wasn't convicted. He was charged. There was accusations back in the early 2000s, right, of misconduct with a young girl at the time for giving him a naked massage.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And this is back in the early 2000s?
So in 2005, in Florida, a 14-year-old girl was brought to his home. She was told to get in her underwear by Epstein and give him a massage. And he assaulted her and touched her and groped her while he was giving the massage. And he gave her $300. And the girl went to her mother and said, this happened to me, Mom.
Uh-huh.
And the mother went to the police. The Florida State Police investigated it. The state attorney was going to give him no jail, 5 years probation, I believe.
Wow.
And the Florida State Police were outraged. They were so outraged that they recommended the case go to the FBI. The FBI took over the case. The FBI ended up in a plea deal with him, a very sweetheart plea deal, which probably violated the Child Victims, a Victims Act.
Yeah, I mean, if you
because it was without their consent.
Literally, if it's a 14-year-old and you are sexually assaulting a 14-year-old, and the FBI investigates, and you get some beautiful deal, is that linked strictly to the fact that he is a billionaire and perhaps had ties with people in government positions who let him off easy?
We have to be very careful.
We suspect that those kind of things could happen? Let me rephrase it that way. Do we think that that's possible in this day and age?
Well, let's look at what we know. Let's look at the facts, and we'll let the audience decide. So what we do know is that Bill Clinton has been on his private plane, which is colloquially known as the Lolita Express.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. That's not good already. Lolita's like a code name for
We know a few Lolitas, honey.
Yeah.
And they are trouble.
Right. But the fact that he had called it that, that's like incriminating too.
And Bill would get on that plane without Secret Service protection.
Which we know that every president gets it until they die. So it's like, wow. Mm. And you don't want your Secret Service to see what now, Bill?
Yeah. So then you were saying that in 2018, December 2018.
Let's go back to 2005. Kind of I'm sorry. I don't want to cut you off.
No, that's okay.
Because this
please.
Is super important.
David Heckenford just grabbed my hand. He was like, it's okay. Just shut up.
No,
and
you're
I was
the
like,
best.
Okay, I love you.
So back in his prison sentence, it wasn't even prison. It was jail. He was given 18 months of jail. His jail ended up being 6 days a week, 16 hours a day. He was given work release. So all he had to do was pretty much show up and sleep in his jail cell.
Oh, my gosh.
After that, a civil suit ensued, and Bill Clinton supposedly cut ties off with Jeff Epstein. However, his partner, Ghislaine Maxwell, who was a recruiter of underage girls, one specifically, Virginia Roberts, 14-year-old girl who people could Google Virginia Roberts and Prince Andrew. There's a picture out there with the royal family. Supposedly, she was paid $10,000 to have sex with Prince Andrew.
Wow.
So going back, so Bill Clinton cut ties off with Jeff Epstein after the 2007 deal.
Right.
However, Ghislaine Maxwell was connected with the Clintons and was one of Chelsea Clinton's 400 guests at her wedding.
Oh boy, that's not great. We're with David Hackenfar, who is our legal expert, talking about Jeffrey Epstein and this sex trafficking ring that he was running. So that was back in 2005 that all that stuff happened, early 2000s. And here we are many years later, and this guy is running around totally free to do whatever he needs to do.
Well, he's a registered sex offender, but that doesn't bother him.
Yeah. He is he is literally a registered sex offender. Now, when it comes to Nancy Pelosi wanting to get someone, a cabinet level member of the Trump administration, to resign, how does that all fit in?
So
here we go.
Okay. So the U.S. attorney who was part of giving that sweetheart of a deal to Jeff
Epstein.
Imagine
16 hours, Michaela. You're like, you're not in prison for 16
hours. That's less than Paris Hilton got when she got arrested. Okay. And she was like a diva. She was hand walked out. What's interesting to me is just that the story has been blown. I feel like people are so careful to keep it all undercover. And the fact that it's out, the fact that we are talking about it, the fact that that Jay saw something in Newsweek. I mean, it's everywhere. And Nancy Pelosi is speaking on it. It's just interesting to me because
the
guy that was involved in the plea deal, the U.S. attorney, is now the acting Labor Secretary,
which
Alexander
means
Acosta.
He was not voted in by anybody. He just Trump appointed him. Like, you're going to hold this spot for us until we figure out who's going to be there. And he was supposed to replace Jeff Sessions, right?
He was. There was talk about it.
That feels so.
That's icky.
But you know, Michaela, I've known about this story for years. This is corporate radio. I mean, whether or not we want to say it or not, but that's why it's so big, because this is corporate radio, and people have known about this for years. People have on YouTube have been talking about this for years. My conspiracy-minded friends have been talking about this for a long time. And Ben Swan did some great reporting on this that we can all look up. And kudos to this network for talking about it. This is a big deal.
It's really sad, though, because I think it really is disheartening in the era of Me Too. And women feel so silenced already that when they come forward, they're not believed. And here you went to the police at a local level. Then you go to the FBI, you know, and you think, okay, we got them.
Yeah.
And then nothing happens. There's no real punishment.
But I will say this. Kudos to the Florida police station for taking it seriously and not being intimidated by his money. Kudos to the mother for not being intimidated. I'm sure she got threatened. In my opinion, she would have, because it's such a big deal.
But now, because he flew him around to Florida and New York, he's going to be tried in New York.
That is okay. So some people might ask, oh, isn't this double jeopardy?
Right.
There's an active policy between U.S. attorneys that whenever a plea deal is reached, that it's supposed to be the most limited in scope, so that one prosecuting district won't tie the hands of another prosecuting district if they're able to bring charges. So in New York, they decided to do this.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, isn't this wild? Kind of freaks you out, right? Could you ever believe something like this could
happen? Well, let me tell you something. Lisa, my girlfriend, who's the biggest conspiracy theorist, literally talks my ear off every day about things like this. And I'm like, Lisa, I'm not talking to you. You freak me out. You're scaring me. And now it's really coming to light. And it is very interesting. I think the story's only going to get more in depth. What can we expect to happen moving forward, at least for the rest of this week?
Things are going to come out. I read earlier today that the FBI found child porn on his computer.
Wow.
Honestly, I'm a superstitious man. You know, he could get struck by a bolt of lightning. You don't know. I mean, this is, you guys, back in the 80s, I remember, you know, people were shocked when they discovered how much of society was being run by the mafia.
Yeah.
I think in this time, in this 2019, in this moment, I think we're about to realize how the ruling elite has engaged in sexual misconduct and sexual abuse that we haven't known about.
Yeah.
And, you know, the ruling class didn't expect the internet to ever come out.
Yep. Yeah,
30 years ago.
Jeez. So, David Hackenfarr, thank you so much for joining us again from Pride Legal. Mm-hmm. We appreciate when you take some time and explain these really dense topics with us. This story is going to keep continue to unfold, and as it does, we'll keep checking in with you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, guys.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Well, let me tell you something. Dance Moms is really just right now in its eighth season, and they are back and bigger, bodier, and more dramatic than ever before. I actually host the reunion specials, which will sort of cap off this season. And one of the moms, the new mom, Ashley, will be on talking about her new journey with Abby Lee, who is back on the show, Michaela, and of course her daughter, Presley, and what the whole experience has been like for them. The show will air tonight on Lifetime, so hopefully she'll give us just a little teasers.
Yeah, I want any tea that she's willing to give. I mean, I love the show. I've been watching it from the beginning. But I do feel like there's something different about Abby. I think she's still really strict. But to me, I feel like they're showing maybe a little bit softer of a side of her since she's been sick.
Well, I wonder even if the show could be as successful if it was all lovey-dovey. Like, would people still watch?
Well, I'll say this. They had a few people step in for Abby, like Lori Ann Gibson.
Uh-huh.
They had Cheryl... was it Cheryl Burke?
Might have been Cheryl Burke for a minute.
They tried to have different teachers come in and take over for Abby, and the show was terrible. I mean, it's really not a show without Abby.
Yeah. So we'll chat with Ashley after the break. Now, what do you have coming up this week? Any big exciting plans for you?
What is this weekend?
I don't know. Or this week or this weekend? Do you have anything going on?
No. I have a really good, easy weekend.
For you.
Yeah, hopefully Lisa will come back at some point. She's been in Vegas 9 days. I'd like to see her. Her birthday's next week, so we're going to start our romancing this weekend.
Well, I guess then if there's nothing new to share, it's time for some news on the beat. So, Michaela Gordon, what are people talking about?
All right, guys, well, cancel your summer plans because seasons 1 through 5 of RuPaul's Drag Race are now included in your Amazon Prime Video subscription. RuPaul announced the exciting news on Instagram on Independence Day, along with a sickening snap of the drag legend. Now, the rest of the seasons are still available for purchase, or you can watch with them for free on the MTV Hits app during a 7-day free trial.
Could you imagine watching season 1 now? Do you remember how blurry it was?
Oh, my God, no. Even season 2 and 3.
It was so blurry to keep RuPaul looking filtered. that they had basically gauze and Vaseline on the lens. It was the running joke forever. Go back and watch season one. You'll die laughing.
They actually don't even say, they don't even talk about season one. They're like the deleted season.
It's like literally like a smudgy lens. Yeah. It's hilarious.
Yeah. Well, if you want to see that, you're in for a real treat. Now you can spend the next couple of months or however long it takes you to get through them, just a few days, watching the seasons that launched a zillion catchphrases. Many of those are still in our gay vocabulary today. They include back rolls and go back to Party City where you belong.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, it's such a good one. Mm. Some of those, honey, the tea was hot. Okay, moving on. Adding homophobia to racism, U.S. Customs and Border Patrol agents made a migrant hold an "I like men" sign as a punishment. Agents, that's disgusting.
Ugh.
Agents at El Paso Processing Center in Texas tried to humiliate a Honduran migrant by making him hold a piece of paper saying, okay, me gustan los hombres, or I like men. Hombres? Honey, she's Rosetta Stone. She's a new person. She's bilingual. According to CNN, the man was forced to hold the paper while walking a group of newly arrived migrants throughout the detention center. A fellow agent sent an email detailing this incident and more to CNN. He also told them, I am forwarding to the Office of Professional Responsibility, the office charged with looking into these allegations. Now, in the message sent to CNN and later to the Office of Professional Responsibility, the agent named two senior Border Patrol officers and five other agents who saw the alleged incident. According to the witness, he took the note to the senior agent in charge that night, but no action was taken. As such, he reached out to the news reporters in a higher office. The story comes on the heels of the expose of a secret Facebook group run by Border Patrol agents containing racist and vulgar posts by ProPublica last week. All right, guys, moving on. Multimillionaire Jeffrey Epstein was indicted yesterday, accused of operating a sex trafficking ring in which he sexually abused dozens of underage girls. Epstein, 66, is not only accused of paying girls as young as 14 to have sex with him, but federal prosecutors say he paid some of his victims to recruit other girls for him to abuse. Now, Epstein pleaded not guilty to two charges. He faces up to 45 years in prison if convicted of both counts. The case, which goes back more than a decade, has political implications because of allegations that Alexandra Acosta, who is now President Trump's labor secretary, mishandled the investigation into Epstein when Acosta was a U.S. attorney. Some now want Acosta to resign. Epstein also has ties to Bill Clinton. The former president took four trips on Epstein's plane while doing work in the early 2000s for the Clinton Foundation. But a spokesman said Clinton knows nothing about Epstein's alleged crimes and has not spoken to him in years. Now, we had the pleasure of speaking with David Hackenfarr. If you missed that earlier in the last hour, just head on over to wearechannelq.com because we are officially a podcast. So if you don't get to listen to us live, you can listen to us wherever you go. Now, coming up, I'm very excited because our own Poppy Rodriguez is working with the Dance Moms. You did their reunion, but we have Ashley, one of the moms, joining us to tell her what it's really like behind the scenes.
And by the way, one of the more dramatic moms, Yolanda, she comes back in tonight's episode. Like, and she got into like physical fights and things. Like, it's going to be crazy. Can you imagine if they tell you, like, look who's here, and you already watched the show, and she walks in, you're like, oh, you're a new mom, and what's going to happen?
Well, we're going to find out from her mouth coming up next.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
So many of you may not know this because I just stepped away for like a week to shoot in Pittsburgh the finale episodes of Dance Moms. I basically am the Puerto Rican Andy Cohen. I sit in between the moms and go over the season highlights and lowlights, as well as sit with the girls and now boy this season for Dance Moms and chat with the kids. That's a lot more fun because no one does any screaming during that time. But I made friends with all the moms and I'm trying to have them all on because it's such a dramatic show this season with some of literally the best kid dancers you've ever seen in your life. Well, one of those moms is on the line with us now, Ashley, and her daughter is Presley. So welcome to the Morning Beat, Ashley. Good morning.
Hey, Ashley.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thanks for taking some time out. We're big fans of the show, as you know, and I saw you in Pittsburgh. So what's your experience been like as a new mom on the ALDC?
It's been crazy. It's been really fun. I mean, the moms are all really great. We had a great experience. The kids made such great friends. But, I mean, you know, as with any competitive dance team, I mean, there is tons of drama. Yeah. You know, it's competitive. It's competition.
Yeah.
We're all friends, but, you know, once you get inside the classroom and you get on stage for competition, it's competition.
Right. Well, Ashley, can I ask you, did watching the show give you a window into what it would be like to be on the elite team? Because that seems like it was a little bit of an advantage being able to see years prior.
Yes. Yeah, it did. Because, I mean, you knew what you were sort of in for. You knew. Right. You know how Abby teaches. You know how the moms have been in the past. So
yeah.
It definitely, I think, was a little bit of an advantage. You don't really walk in blindly. But
sure.
At the same time, it's actually so different when it's you and it's real for your style.
Right.
So what
you know
was
what I mean?
Yeah, well, because I'm sure you get this now probably to the rest of your life. But what was your experience like with Abby?
ups and downs. I do. Abby's great. Abby's great. She's a great teacher. The kids absolutely adore her. But, you know, when it comes to your kids, you know, when she's kind of, you feel like crossing the line, you have to be a mom at that point.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I have a lot of respect for her. I think she's great at what she does, and the kids learn so much from being with her. But at the same time, you know, I have to stick up for my daughter when I have to.
That's right. Yeah.
So. I have to say, though, I love watching you because I think you're one of the most clear-headed moms. You keep it very logical, but you still have your girls' back. One mother, though, in particular, has been quite dramatic when she was on the team before. What was your experience like when Yolanda came back in tonight's episode?
Oh, my gosh. Yolanda? When Yolanda came back, I don't know. Everything changed. I mean, she's super fun. She's actually a really great person. But when she came back, it was like the room turned upside down because her and Stacey have a lot of history.
Yep.
So that kind of just everything escalated from that point.
Yeah.
But you'll see tonight when she comes back. I mean, she's back.
So, I mean, and speaking of tonight's trailer for the episode, it is one of those where we see in tonight's trailer that you storm out and, you know, and you're dragging Presley in, and Presley seemingly wanting to stay. What can you share, if anything, about what motivated that?
What motivated that? So it's just I own a dance studio, so I understand things a little bit differently also from a different perspective.
Sure.
Because I do see a lot of things from Abby's perspective.
Right.
And I'm always okay with corrections. I mean, in fact, like the more corrections you give her, the better, because that's only going to help her improve. But there are certain things that I think you can't say or shouldn't say. And I just kind of, I was getting to the point where I was like, you have to stop saying all of these things. Like she was saying things about her, you know, things that she couldn't help.
Sure.
The length of her neck, you know. The length of her leg.
I hate Abby so much. Not the length of her neck, Abby.
I swear. So it was like things like, I cannot change those things. She was born with her leg she was born with. So
right.
Let's give her corrections about dance and let's not make it personal. So that's where, like, once it started being personal,
yeah.
Then I was like, you can't do that. Like, I'm not here for this. You're not going to make my daughter, you're not going to humiliate her.
Yeah. Well, Ashley, thank you so much for taking the time. We love you so much. And give our love to Presley.
Thank
and
you.
We look
I
forward
will.
To seeing you soon. And you're welcome to come on and talk about anything you want, whenever you want. We love you so much. Chat soon, Ashley.
Great. Thank you, Ashley.
Thanks. Bye.
And we want to remind you guys that's Dance Moms tonight, Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Mm-hmm.
I will be watching glued to the television because I love
You love
drama.
A good little dramatic storm out, too.
Oh, I love a storm
Could
out.
Could you imagine?
Like sometimes a little, I like to storm out and nothing even happened.
Just like a little Michaela Gordon pulling your hand saying, Mommy, no. And you're like, we're out of here.
My niece in ballet. Just
what
like,
would you do?
Oh my God, I'd rip her out of there. And then I'd be like, Zia, you know what she called me yesterday?
What'd she call you?
This little bitch said, hey, Uncle Mika. That it was the funniest thing she ever said in her life.
What if you're stuck
hey,
with
Uncle
that
Mika.
Nickname now?
I said, maybe Uncle Lisa, but not Uncle Mika. You better change it up. all right, you guys. Well, coming up, it has been a long time since I took a driver's license test.
Michaela, I failed the first time.
And Jay absolutely failed the,
dude the
last
cheated.
Time.
He cheated. He was like, check number 3 and number 9. I'm not even kidding. So I'm going to fail this terribly.
Well, we're going to take it because our producer, Justin, has also had some drama at the DMV, and we'll be talking about it next.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
So I will be honest. When I first moved to Los Angeles, I was 27 years old. I just turned 27. Queer Eye had just finished. And I moved to LA to do a singing show on Fox called Celebrity Duets. Same band as American Idol, similar format to Dancing with the Stars, except I was singing and every week I'd get a musical icon. I didn't have a license. The studio would send a car for me. So I knew when I moved here, I needed a license. Michaela, I went to the DMV after practicing the online test, you know, online and thinking the written test was going to be a breeze. I walked in, waited on the line, and some gay, was like, "You don't wait online. Come here." And he brought me to the back.
We stand.
He gave me the test, and I failed. And he was like, "Look over number two and number whatever it was." And he basically helped me cheat to get a license.
So that you could pass.
So here we are. Our producer, Justin, is going to give us the DMV, some of the portions of the DMV written test to see how I fare.
Here's what happened. Part of the reason we have to do this is because Justin's been at the DMV like 7 times already this week. He didn't like do it properly. He lost his license and then they needed all this information from him.
Well,
and
Justin. So what it was I had to renew my driver's license and I'm getting the real ID. So they had, you know, two forms of your residency, social security number, birth certificate, blood draw.
Yeah. I want to do the real ID. We'll talk about that a little later, but I want to do that too. Adam showed me his and now I'm jealous that I don't have it. Exactly. We'll talk about this next. We'll talk about this when we come back because it's actually a whole new thing that everyone's going to want.
Oh.
So I'll have Justin talk about it. Maybe tomorrow we'll do a whole segment on it.
Yeah. So I have here, you know, example questions, sample questions from the DMV driver's test. So I will quiz you both and see how well you do.
I haven't taken this test in 16 years.
I don't think I'll remember any of it, but here we go.
Michaela Gordon, you're up first.
What?
You are approaching a railroad crossing with no warning devices and are unable to see 400 feet down the tracks in one direction. The speed limit is blank. 15 miles an hour, 20 miles an hour, or 25 miles an hour?
I'm going to go with 20.
15 miles an hour. Nice try.
Whatever.
Jay?
Yes?
When parking your vehicle parallel to the curb on a level street, your front wheels must be turned toward the street, your wheels must be within 18 inches of the curb, or one of your rear wheels must touch the curb?
18 inches from the curb? That's an option? I don't like that one. That makes me nervous because I don't think, you said it's at level, so I don't think the wheels are turned when it's level.
Right.
Wheels are only turned when you're upwards or downwards. 18 inches from the curb seems really far. That's like a foot and a half.
Must be within.
Within 18. Yeah, I'll say it's that one. Yeah, that's
or good. You just park on the sidewalk like I did two days ago.
Yeah, that you did do that, didn't you, Michaela? Well, Michaela, when driving in fog, you should use your fog lights only, your high beams, or your low beams.
High beams.
That's probably the worst thing to use. Low beams.
Oh, my God.
Okay. You're
in real
first
trouble.
First of all, thank God for Uber. Am I right?
Do we need to call the DMV on you, Michaela?
I'm a little scared. I'm scared for myself.
Jay?
Yes?
A white painted curb means what? Loading zone for freight or passengers, loading zone for passengers or mail only, or loading zone for freight only?
Right. So the yellow one is loading, I think, for... people.
I literally don't know this either.
What are the options? Freight, people, or what?
Freight or passengers.
Uh-huh.
Passengers or mail, or freight only.
I'm going to say the mail sounds like it would be white.
Yeah, they gotta be white.
Because of the mail trucks, they're white.
Jay, you're doing very well.
I'm redeeming myself.
Yeah. All right, whatever. Just keep reading.
Michaela, you just sold your vehicle. You must notify the DMV within how many days? 5, 10, or 15?
You just sold your vehicle 5, 10, or 15 days before you have to notify DMV, before they send you to prison.
10.
5 days.
They may carry you right out of here in a minute.
Girl, wait. If I sell my car, I have to let them know within 5 days?
Yes.
Why?
Because someone could steal it. It could be, you know, used for different things that are crimes, and you could be attached to it. So you got to let them know right away.
I actually... I don't want to be incriminating on myself, but I did sell a car, and I did not tell the DMV.
You're in big trouble.
Michaela Gordon, menace to society.
Oh, my God. I'm a loser.
Jay?
Yeah.
Unless otherwise posted, the speed limit in a residential area is what? 20 miles an hour, 25 miles an hour, or 30 miles an hour?
25 miles.
Wow,
oh my
you are
God.
Acing this test.
Yeah.
Did you cheat?
No, I pay attention when I'm...
Well, good. I'm glad.
What was I
doing? Working them through, though. I'm working these answers out, though. Yeah, in my head.
Michaela, your last question. Roadways are the most slippery during when? During a heavy downpour, after it has been raining for a while, or the first rain after a dry spell?
Ooh.
I'm going to say everyone's very wet after a dry spell.
And Kayla Gordon's on the board. 3-1.
All I needed was a sexual reference. I'm back in the game.
Well, there you go. Jay, your final question. Uh-huh. You were getting ready to make a right turn. You should signal and turn immediately. Stop before entering the right lane and let all other traffic go first, or slow down or stop if necessary and then make the turn.
I'm entering the right lane from like the center lane, you're saying.
You're getting ready to make a right turn.
A right turn.
Yes.
And I'm not on the right lane.
You're in the right lane.
I'm in the right lane. So what are the options again?
So you should signal and turn immediately.
Uh-huh.
Stop before entering the right lane and let all other traffic go first, or slow down or stop if necessary and then make the turn.
I said go on.
I just feel like you want to like not let all other traffic. I mean, if you don't have the right of way, yes, you have to let the other traffic go. I'm going to say stop and let the other traffic go. Because, for instance, if I'm at a red light and I want to take that right turn, I have to let the people with green go first. No? What is the answer?
Slow down or stop if necessary and then make the turn.
Wow.
Slow down or stop. Right.
So,
got it. Okay.
You know, not bad. Jay, you got 3 out of 4 right. And Michaela, I need to see your license because DMV is over taking it away.
I'm going to be honest. I lost it. I don't know where it is. I'm waiting for one to come in the mail.
Oh, no.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
I gotta tell you what, I'm really excited because Thursday I'm gonna be in San Diego hosting Deep, which is a great party for Impulse Group of San Diego. They do this awesome thing where if you want to come to a ticketed event, and let's say you can't afford it, whatever, you just simply there's like they have an HIV testing thing outside, and for everyone
I love
who
that.
Gets tested and you know you get responsible, know your status, you get entrance for free, and so I'll be there. If you want more information, just check on there. Oh, by the way, the event is sold out. I don't know why.
Yes, that's important.
It's great. It's myself and Plastique Tiara who'll be joining us tomorrow to have a chit chat. So we'll have a little chit chat with her. But I want to talk about another advocacy group that I just adore. It's a national group. We spoke with one of the people who was really one of the earlier champions of this group, Sister Roma from the Sisters of
Love
Perpetual
Sister Roma.
Indulgence. Uh-huh. It's a charitable organization that really back in the day was one of the first groups that was formed to step in for those who were losing their lives during the height of the AIDS crisis. And they basically stepped in as these sisters. Now it's become an organization. It's like a fraternity or sorority where you have to pledge. And, you know, if you feel the calling to be of use and of service to others, there's basically a process. I think it takes just over a year to become a sister.
Yeah.
And they do basically charitable work. Well, in D.C., the D.C. chapter, what's up, D.C.? The chapter of the Sisters Perpetual Indulgence there, they shut down a far-right reporter's interview with nothing more than a fan thwart. Let me tell you about what this is. If you're at a club, gay club specifically, these massive fans.
The best.
Or if you ever see a drag queen with a massive fan, the sound they make when they open aggressively is a loud, cracking, thropping sound. It's very loud, very aggressive.
It's the best.
It's until it's like in your ear all night. If someone keeps going, rah, 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 you're like,
we had that experience together when you bought me our first big outing as Channel Q together, and you bought me those big, beautiful fans for $60 a piece.
This is when I thought Michaela Gordon was responsible. She wanted these black light fans.
This is real.
She's at a nightclub. Mm-hmm. I'm like, she should have all of them.
He thought I looked so amazing, and he was so pleased by me that he got me these gorgeous fans. And to be honest, I was so excited. I loved these fans. And then we got drunk.
That's right.
And I got to tell you, I'm lucky if my weave stays in my hair, let alone a fan in my hand.
I stand by the principle. I think there should be a business that rents props at clubs and you give them back.
Yes.
Just, we don't have to worry about it all night. Well, that being said, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence DC decided they were going to use their fans to silence this far-right reporter's interview and have a little listen because this guy was just, he was a fascist, and a lot of the sympathizers, they descended on the nation's capital and they were just, you know, having these heavy quotes for free speech, blah, 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 blah. But their hate speech was clouded by this sound.
Gay people are so extra.
They are so. Think about how revolutionary that is. If you think about.
Sounds like a bunch of ducks quacking.
If you think about the Matthew Shepard movie, I don't know if you remember this portion of the movie, but when there were protesters at his funeral, the group of neighbors all wore these massive angel wings, and they would pull this thing and it just blocked all the signs. And so it was like angels blocking the hate.
No.
Yeah. So off the wings of that, I just think this is such a beautiful moment.
I love that.
What a way to drown out hate.
Listen, I feel like we talk about this a lot. When I see those hate groups, I get infuriated. That's the one thing that's like a trigger for me. I'm ready to scream at them, to yell at them, to fight with them, because I think they're so ignorant. So I'm so happy that we have the Sisters of Indulgence and people who really just know how to drown out hate in the most responsible and loving way, because truly that's the only message we're trying to push.
Yeah, and listen, I understand that we should have free speech for all, but when you are using language that either threatens others or makes others, put others in harm's way.
Right.
By radically minded folks, I think you're endangering other people, and you shouldn't be, since we're not allowed to yell fire in a crowded theater, we shouldn't be allowed to yell hate speech about marginalized groups that are already being attacked.
Can't say bomb on an airplane. So many things you can't say.
You really can't.
Yeah.
You know, you can't even joke about that on an airplane. They will literally kick you right off.
Yeah, they will. Well, that was a really good point. We love our Sisters of Indulgence. What's up to our DC family? Now, coming up next hour, Doc Halligan is answering your disaster preparedness questions, because listen, don't be fooled. It's not just LA that can get earthquakes. You can get them anywhere, even on the East Coast.
And by the way, she's our veterinary expert, so she answers all your dog and cat questions on Tuesdays. If you ever have a question that you just want her to answer, all you have to do is send us a message on social media at We Are Channel Q.
That's right, and find out why J-Lo is crying on YouTube and two new trailers have the internet abuzz. Stick around with a new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
All right, trying to figure out how to make sex is cheesy. Now we're back to you guys. Hi, guys. Welcome to The Morning Beat. I'm Jay Rodriguez with Michaela Gordon. And, you know, in case you missed what we were talking about earlier, you want to check us out on podcast form because, yes, we are officially a podcast. And so if you missed our earlier hours, we're having great conversation with David Hackenfarr, who is our legal expert talking about Jeffrey Epstein. I feel like I'm scared to say it out loud.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely.
That is a hot button issue. And then, of course, our Kevin Spacey, he was in court. His case was in court yesterday.
Well, I wasn't nervous to talk about Jeffrey Epstein until David Hackenfarr was nervous to talk about
him. He made it sound like Voldemort, like a name we should not mention out loud.
He was like, this is a very big deal. This is a big deal. Guys are talking about it. And I was like, well, is it though?
Maybe
should
he's
I be
just
afraid?
A litigious person. And we need to say allegedly. But he was found guilty of crimes. He was, you know, he was put on that, like,
I mean, he's a registered sex offender.
That's right. So what are you gonna do?
Well, he's into a lot of hot water, and we're going to continue talking about it. Apparently, they also found his little black book, which
had just everyone's name in it.
Am I spilling all this tea? I feel like I should just stop. If you're listening, Jeff, I'm sorry.
Oh, I don't know if he's listening. I think he's in prison.
Okay, good.
Well,
you don't think they get the radio.com app there?
I doubt it. But coming up later this hour, we're going to be chatting with our veterinary expert, Doc Halligan, to talk about disaster preparedness for our pets. You know, you have your little fur babies, but do you have them protected in case of a natural disaster? Which, by the way, can be coast to coast. We'll have those conversations with Doc just after the break. But before we get there, it's time for some news on the beat. So, Michaela Gordon, what are people talking about?
All right, guys. Well, one candidate drops out as another preps to drop in. U.S. Representative Eric Swalwell has ended his bid for the Democratic presidential nomination. Swalwell just flat out failed to gain traction in the race. He told CNN his endorsement of one of the remaining contenders would hinge on the candidate's work to fight gun violence. Meanwhile, billionaire Tom Steyer has reportedly told his staffers he plans to get into the race. He's donated to Democratic candidates for years, as well as to many liberal causes, but he may be best known for starring in a recent series of self-funded TV commercials calling for Trump's impeachment. All right, an allegation of human trafficking has been added to a wrongful death lawsuit brought against Ed Buck, the prominent gay Democratic donor whose home has been the site of drug-related deaths of two black men. Now, Jamal Moore, 26, died in July 2017 in Buck's West Hollywood home. Buck, who is white, has been accused of forcibly drugging black men, but no criminal charges have been brought against him in Moore's death or in the death of Timothy M. Dean in January of this year. Now, both men died of drug overdoses. The Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department has ruled Dean's death accidental, and county prosecutors declined to bring charges in Moore's death, saying there were insufficient evidence that Buck supplied him with drugs. Insufficient funds. That's what I know best of. That's why I went right to it. Buck's attorney also said his client bore no responsibility for either man's demise. But Moore's mother, Letitia Nixon, and his estate have filed a wrongful death against Buck, accusing him of injecting Moore with crystal meth, after which Buck forced Moore to perform sexual acts. The suit seeks seeks general and punitive damages as well as attorney's fees. All right, guys, well, cancel your summer plans because season 1 through 5 of RuPaul's Drag Race are now included in your Amazon Prime Video subscription. RuPaul announced the exciting news on Instagram on Independence Day, along with a sickening snap of the drag legend. The rest of the seasons are still available for purchase, or you can watch with them for free on the MTV Hits app during a 7-day trial. Now you can spend the next couple of months, or however long it takes you to get through them, watching the seasons that launched a zillion catchphrases. Many of those are still in our gay vocabulary today. They include back rolls and go back to Party City where you belong. All right, guys, well, listen, you know that I have a farm full of dogs, and with this earthquake happening and can truly happen anywhere around the United States, we are trying to prep ourselves and prep our dogs. Doc Halligan will be joining us next to help us properly do that.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Well, I will tell you what, those earthquakes that hit the West Coast could actually hit New York as well, and DC, and so many other places. Plus, all natural disasters leave us reminded that we're oftentimes not really prepared.
Yeah, so many times. And then I feel like when you add pets in, I called Lisa, I said, you're not here in town in LA, and I could die in an earthquake, Lisa. And I have 3 dogs that I'm taking care of. And she said, Michaela, it's time to grow up. I'll be home maybe Thursday. And I was like, great. Goodbye. Yeah.
It's a lot. And I know that we covered disaster preparedness, but it seems like it bears repeating. So we're calling Doc Halligan up to join us here to talk about what we do in case of a natural disaster when we have our pets with us. It's something that we cannot hear enough of, because certainly I feel like I listened to about half of what I processed. I was there and I was home on the 4th of July holding my dog for the fireworks. Little did I know the next day and that day would have earthquakes. So welcome back to the Morning Beat, Doc Halligan.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, Doc, I'm going to dive right in. Joe from Indio Palm Springs, listening on 103.1 FM, asks, with the 2 big earthquakes, we are good preparing ourselves, but we have dogs and a cat, and we want them to be taken care of. How many supplies, as far as food and water goes, do we need in case the worst happens?
Well, they're saying anywhere between 7 and 14 days.
Wow.
That you warming. Now, there's 2 scenarios. There's one where you hunker down at home because you can't get out because the surrounding areas are all annihilated and the roads don't work. Or 2, the roads are good and they're telling you to leave. Right. So there's 2 different scenarios. Now, what you have to do, and I know it seems like a lot of work, but you have to have an evacuation kit for each pet. I have it on my website, DocHalligan.com, the evacuation kit, what they need to have in it. But, you know, the most important thing is water.
Yeah.
You have to have enough water because, you know, they can live without food for a few days, but they can't live without water.
Right.
Now, you know, when you're at home, you know, there's ways you can make the water, you know, putting bleach in it and, you know, dilute it and, they say, like, fill the bathtub up if you're anticipating one halfway full so you have some water.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the best thing is to stock up on water. And you want to have an evacuation kit that you can put in your car in case you have to leave. And 1 for each animal. And they say don't store it in the kitchen because that's where most fires start. And you need to check it, make sure it doesn't expire. There's a lot that goes into it, but I can tell you that how awful would it be to be there with your pets and not be prepared? And they're looking at you like,
right.
Hello?
Yeah.
You're not giving any water or food for us? And then you're stuck.
Well, if you guys are just tuning in, we are talking to our celebrity veterinarian, Doc Halligan, about properly preparing for earthquakes that can truly happen East Coast or West Coast. Now, here's another question. My partner and I travel dozens of miles for work each day, and we worry that if the big earthquake hits, we may not be able to reach them for hours or even days. Is there any way we can stash or prep for them for the fact we may not be home? And then actually, Doc Halligan, I'm going to add this part of the question on also. Okay. Where's the safest place to keep them? Is it in the kitchen? Is it in the living room? Because what if things start to fall or shatter? Now, this question is from Christine in Corona, 97.1 HD2.
Well, most people keep their evacuation kits in the garage. Because that has way to access seems to be the safest place. But, yes, you brought up a really good point. What happens if the earthquake hits when you're not home? What you have to do is you have to have a meeting with your neighbors, and usually there's someone that works from home, and it can rotate, and you have an evacuation plan. And that would include someone that would be having access to your pets, and there's a designated person in case it hits when you're not home. That's a very good point, because we all think, oh, it's going to happen, you know, when we're home. But if it doesn't, and the firemen, you know, they will, you know, drive out there for a dog. My brother's a fireman, paramedic, and he told me, just tell him, we're not going to drive out there for a dog.
Right.
That. For people, they will, unfortunately. So that means you've got to get together, get to know your neighbors. And I just had this conversation with Janet, who you guys met at KKLA. She has two little dogs.
Yeah.
She's asked me that. And now she has, after the earthquake, she has a designated person that can come and get her dog.
Fantastic. Well, I have another question here from Trina in Arlington, Virginia, listening on 94.7 HD2. With rampant flooding happening where we live, what do we need to check at the vet with our mastiff donut? He was in the water more than normal and just worried about any health issues that there might be associated with that.
Well, your vet should be able to do an exam, listen to the lungs, check the temperature, make sure that you didn't, get a lot of water in his body, and then prescribe the proper treatment. So we saw a lot of flood victims in Harvey, and, you know, we're able to treat that. So that's good.
Yeah. What do you think, Doc, just a loose question from me, what do you think is people forget to do the most when it comes to disaster preparedness? Is it just that they're like, I'll get to it? Mm-hmm. Or what do you think is the number one thing people kind of forget to do for their pets in disaster preparation?
Nobody has an evacuation plan. They say
the plan. Right.
The plan or the kit. The plan kit. And the kit. Uh-huh. So they go hand in hand. They say less than 3% have an evacuation kit and or plan in place. And that's true right now. And it just takes a minute. Just go look it up, an evacuation kit. And even LA County, they're offering it for humans. You can buy them. You can buy kits.
Right.
If you're kind of listening, you can order one on Amazon.
Yeah, I actually got one, so I feel like I'm in good shape with the kids.
I know. Well, Poppy Rodriguez told me a million times to get it, and I still haven't, but now that I've talked to you, I will.
And
yeah, you
get
can.
Get water. Stock up on water.
That's right.
And food for the dogs. And
well, Doc Halligan, we love you so much. And if you have any questions, visit DocHalligan.com. Thank you, Doc, so much. We'll chat with you next week.
Yeah. Thanks, Doc.
Okay, bye.
All right, you guys, coming up next, find out how disappointing others really can impact us and why J-Lo was crying on YouTube. Stick around with a new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Some major shout outs to my girl Ashley Marie Preston. She's a fan of this friend to the station, since a fan of. She is someone I'm so inspired by. We've had her on as a guest on several different shows here, including ours. She just recently introduced Elizabeth Warren at the Essence Festival this weekend. And as a black trans woman, to kind of be able to have, a leader right now in terms of the candidates for office of president. It's kind of major to have a trans woman of color, specifically a trans black woman, introduce you at an event.
Absolutely. Especially Ashley Marie Preston.
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, though, she's kind of ruined things for me, because I really like her and I believe in her. And she said that Marianne Williamson did not treat her right when she went to her rally.
Right.
And I cannot stop thinking about it. I think about it all the time.
Yeah, 100%. So I think we're about to talk about J-Lo, right?
Yeah.
So I just wanted to say that I saw this video, and we have the audio of it. I saw this, and it really spoke to me, because I'm a performer. I know what it feels like to get off stage and feel like maybe you could have done better, or something just didn't feel right. True or not true? It could have been me, that I just was just in my feelings, or maybe I just really didn't have a great performance. But we've got some audio of how A-Rod handled the situation when J-Lo came off stage from her It's My Party World Tour. Have a listen to this.
You have some eyes on that. And your voice, by the way, never sounded better. And like the way you were playing with the crowd and the up, it was insane.
Oh my god.
You're the best.
I'm so proud of you.
Alex said it was the best show he's ever seen.
Oh good.
This is why I love him and I'm gonna marry him.
She basically was like, I just had the worst show. No, it wasn't good. In the beginning, you can't really kind of hear it. But she basically was backstage and she's starting to cry. You know that feeling.
Of course.
And so I guess it broadens the question of what in your life do you have a fear of disappointing people for?
I mean, I think for sure entertainment with me, there have been so many moments where I've gotten off stage, be it stand up, where I bombed, and I bombed doing stand up sometimes, or I did a performance and my voice was just tired. And I'm really thankful to have Lisa. There have been a couple times where I've come off stage and literally my whole face is red and she knows I'm about to just totally lose my mind. And she grabs me and just hugs me real tight. I mean, the thing is, it's what we love to do. That's who we are. We are performers. And when you feel like you've let people down, who've paid money to see you or who have traveled to come and see you, particularly on J-Lo's level, but even just when they come to see me, you don't want to disappoint them and you're already tired or something happened. I think she said in the beginning of the video, I hit myself with the mic. I kind of hurt myself. So she kind of hurt herself and then she's tired and she feels like she's bombing the show. I mean, it's a very disappointing feeling. And J-Lo, you should be ashamed of yourself. No, I'm just kidding.
No, but when so in real life, do you, outside of performing, do you, when you, what does it make you feel like when you feel like you've disappointed someone? Maybe you forgot their birthday or, you know, someone you really care about, you feel like you let them down. Does it stay on your mind?
Yeah.
Like,
no, you know me. Yeah. This has happened between you and I sometimes where I'll take it home for a 6 or 7 days. I won't be able to shake it.
It's weird how that happens, right? Like, in your mind, the person could have been like, no, you're fine. But in your mind, it's like something you cannot shake.
Yeah, I feel really bad. There have been moments in this room, I think, where something's happened and I've called you and said, hey, I'm going to think about this for the next 6 days.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. And you're like, it actually wasn't a big deal. And I'm like, no, I'm really sorry. Like, the disappointment is tough for me. But I think a lot of it goes back to, too, I always felt like I was disappointing, like, my parents. If we're getting so real, that just got real quickly.
No, I think a lot of people feel this way.
I know. I think it started with disappointing my parents, and I didn't really have the parents that were like, you'll never disappoint us. They were like, you did disappoint us. So then it's sort of carrying around that shame that you don't want to do that. And you are constantly putting yourself out there and you're always up for rejection. And, you know, if you mess up, you take it harder than maybe some people that don't. I mean, it's a lot. Emotionally, mentally, it's a lot.
I think the reason why I'm such a hustler and why I push so hard to try to at least conquer everything I do in some way that feels like I did something is because I have this huge fear of disappointing others.
Yeah.
To the point of sometimes sacrificing my own comfort and happiness so some other people are happy and comfortable.
You'll go as far as making yourself sick before you realize that it's not working anymore. Or you're working 7 days a week with no breaks and you're like, I'm so tired and my mental health is not being taken care of.
I did that to myself for the month of June when I was looking at my calendar in the spring and I was getting all these bookings for prides, out of town things. I overcommitted because I was asked to do things. Some were charity things that I even invested my own money in.
Right.
But I was so scared and saddened to have a moment where I would just say, I can't. Out of fear of disappointing someone else.
Yeah.
Who probably, honestly,
would not have even cared.
Would have been like, it's fine, no, take care of yourself. But to find the words of the language, I think for me, disappointing others is something I really don't like to do.
Yeah.
Even if I know, in the moment, I'm like, oh, I'm literally disappointing them. I can handle this differently. It crosses my mind.
Yeah, and I don't even think that's really an entertainer thing. I think that's just a human being thing and just what kind of tools you have dealing with people and dealing with situations. So yeah, I'm happy that J-Lo even shared that on her Instagram.
I was surprised.
I was really surprised because we don't really, it's like Beyonce, we don't really get those moments.
Those vulnerable, I'm not perfect, I'm flawed moments, yeah.
And we need them. So it was a beautiful moment. I'm happy that she did that. Mm-hmm. All right, Jess, well, coming up, two new trailers have dropped and you won't believe what we have audio for. Stick around with a new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat. I'm Jay Rodriguez with Michaela Gordana.
Oh, who's she?
Gordana. I don't know. What's your middle name again?
Annalise.
Michaela Annalise Gordon.
Yeah.
I actually like Annalise.
I love Annalise. You know what I wish, the one thing I wish I would have done though?
What?
My mom's last name is Cavaricci.
Oh, it's so good.
And I always had Cavaricci.
Let me tell you something. That name brings me such Long Island joy.
I'm going to take you to Laguna to meet my family that made those jeans.
Let me
We'll go to Laguna.
If you do not remember those Cavaricci jeans, and you're not of a certain age, Cavaricci jeans were these jeans that really hit their stride in the late 80s, early 90s, and they were not inexpensive. So many brands were knockoffs. And I remember I had one pair of Cavaricci's, and then I had another pair of GC denim or whatever, and they were like a knockoff. They had pleats in them. They had the little tag that said Z Cavaricci. It was insane how coveted those jeans were. And that's actually your legacy.
Yeah, it is my legacy. They live in Laguna now. My uncle, my great uncle Jimmy, I'll take you to go see him.
Have you stolen any that they perhaps have tuckered away somewhere? No.
No, but I got to go see them because they just did a brand new line that actually my little cousin Marlena is now the model for. I'm so mad that I'm not the model. I'm the model, bitch.
How did you not get
asked? I miss it.
You need to insert yourself in there.
I'm offended.
Yes, you are.
I am my drag name.
I mean, how did they not go to you first?
I don't know. I was so mad. But we'll go because it is. I just wish I would have saved my last name, Michaela Annalise Cavaricci.
Oh, my God. It sounds so good.
It's good. Is it too late at 31 to change to my mother's maiden name?
Absolutely not.
Rocky Gordon would be so upset.
Well, are you not going to do Pittman? Are you not going to do Lisa?
Well, I told Lisa that why don't we just go both change to Cavaricci?
Agree.
And she said no, she doesn't want to do that.
Why don't you do
you're a hater.
Michaela Annalise Pittman Cavaricci.
Because that's literally a mouthful. Could
How
you imagine?
About Michaela, just legally.
Introducing me, Michaela Annalise Pittman Cavaricci and Jay Rodriguez.
Michaela
the Morning Beat.
It would be Michaela Pittman Cavaricci. That's not terrible. Just drop the middle name.
We like Annalise.
Oh, geez. You have a lot of names. That's so East Coast. All right. Well, it's time for some news on the beat. So, Michaela Gordon, what are people talking about?
All right, guys. Well, one candidate drops out as another preps to drop in. U.S. Representative Eric Swalwell has ended his bid for the Democratic presidential nomination. Now, Swalwell just flat out failed to gain traction in the race. He told CNN his endorsement of one of the remaining contenders would hinge on the candidate's work to fight gun violence. Meanwhile, billionaire's Tom Steyer has reportedly told his staffers he plans to get into the race. He donated the Democratic candidates for years, as well as to many liberal causes, but he may be best known for starring in a recent series of self-funded TV commercials calling for Trump's impeachment. Moving on, adding homophobia to racism, U.S. Customs and Border Patrol agents made a migrant hold on I Like Men sign as a punishment. Agents in El Paso Processing Center in Texas tried to humiliate a Honduran migrant by making him hold a piece of paper saying, Me gustan los hombres, or I like men, according to CNN. The man was forced to hold the paper while walking a group of newly arrived migrants throughout the detention center. Now, a fellow agent sent an email detailing this incident and more to CNN. He also told them, I am forwarding to the Office of Professional Responsibility, the office charged with looking into these allegations. Now, in the message sent to CNN and later to the Office of Professional Responsibility, the agent named two senior Border Patrol officers and five other agents who saw the alleged incident. According to the witness, he took the note to the senior agent in charge that night, but no action was taken. Now, as such, he reached out to the news reporters and a higher office. The story comes on the heels of the expose of a secret Facebook group run by Border Patrol agents containing racist and vulgar posts by ProPublica last week. All right, you guys, now listen, we have a lot of opportunities for you to do so many fun things this summer, including going to the Hollywood Bowl. Now, July 12th, girls and boys are all going to be having so much fun, and you don't want to miss out because you can win a chance to see Cyndi Lauper live at the Hollywood Bowl. All you have to do is head on over to wearechannelq.com to make sure you get a chance to see Cyndi Lauper. And if you can't make it this time, don't worry about it. Just keep updated on what's happening at the Hollywood Bowl because Channel Q is always finding a fun way for you to enjoy yourselves. And the Hollywood Bowl is the best. Poppy, isn't it great? You can just bring your wine, your food.
Yes, you can dine outdoors while you enjoy some great entertainment.
Yeah, we love it. So stick around. We have more for you. And also, we'll be talking about Poppy Rodriguez on KTLA today. Mm-hmm. We're so excited. She's a star. Stick around with a new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
That's right. We are the Morning Beat. Now, Michaela came from American Idol. I think that's where the world first got to know her as just a budding new singer at 16, one of the youngest contestants ever on that show. And I came from, I guess, the first massive TV show was Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Well, Queer Eye star Jonathan Van Ness and his fellow co-hosts have a new trailer for the upcoming season of Queer Eye, and we are going to play you that trailer so you get a little tease of what is to come this season.
People should always remember, it's never too late to start over.
You're stable, you're loving, you took care of your parents. Don't compare yourself to them. You are not a failure.
You have literally saved people's lives, mine included.
All any of us have done, we've highlighted the best parts of you.
You're a warrior. You have people who look up to you, and there are people that you could look up to.
Being able to let you guys in has just transformed me, and I love you guys, man.
Let me tell you something. That trailer makes me miss doing Queer Eye like never before.
It's inspiring.
Yeah, to be able really just have this unlimited resources. When we were on Queer Eye, literally we could kind of go at when the show was popular. We could go to any resource and say, we want you to partner with us to help change this person's life.
Yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, they would say yes. And to know you had that power just to help someone in a small way make such a lasting impact was really sweet.
Yeah, it's amazing. I loved watching that show. I remember you on it so clearly.
I was 12.
And I was also. And
I was Jeffrey's age, actually. You were 25 now. Yeah, I was like, I think I finished the show at 26 is when I wrapped the show.
Oh, my God.
Crazy, right? 26, 27, something like that. Well, you know, Renee Zellweger was in London Pride. She was at London Pride promoting her new biopic of Judy Garland. At first, I was like, oh, haven't we seen it and heard it all? Until I saw the first trailer. Well, now there is a new trailer for this biopic. I think she's going to win all the awards.
I think so too. I absolutely think she's doing it so much justice.
Well, let's have a listen. This is Renee Zellweger in her new Judy Garland biopic.
Mama, are you there?
Somewhere.
You need to take better care of yourself. You understand?
Over the rainbow.
Everybody has their troubles. And I've had mine. Want what everybody wants. I just seem to have a harder time getting it.
Do you take anything for depression?
4 husbands. Didn't work.
There's a land that I...
You won't forget me, will you?
Promise you won't.
Okay, I heard a little Bridget Jones, but the most of it was great.
Now I'm crying. It's going to be so good.
Maybe we should go see this together. Just get really lit. You can have your Tito's soda. I'll have my dirty martini.
Yeah, I will. But also, don't patronize me when I start bawling hysterically like you did in Star is Born.
When I just sat there with my arms crossed, rolling my eyes.
So mad at it.
Because I wasn't in it.
And I was walking out. I said, wasn't that so beautiful? And he was like, no, hated it.
Well, only because I auditioned for it multiple times at the stage reading and all that stuff and then didn't get the movie. But I will say, this I think is going to be good.
It's beautiful. And honestly, I would have never said Renee Zellweger for Judy Garland in 100 million years.
I've got a big question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think Liza Minnelli will attend any premiere or will she not go watch it privately and clap back online? Because it's her mother's story, and it's like there's a lot of negative parts to it. There's drugs, there's multiple husbands. So depending on what they say about her mom.
I think not now. I think it won't bother her now because I think they're going to depict her beautifully.
I think so too.
And
I hope
think
so.
That they're going to depict her as somebody who just suffered from depression and anxiety, not somebody who was just a drug addict.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I hope so.
Really showing her as just a broken woman who was so beyond talented and incredible and lovely, not somebody who just like died of a drug. You know what I'm saying? There's ways to do that. And if they do it right, Liza will love it. Love it.
Do your best, Liza. Take us to commercial with your best, Liza.
Now back to Channel Q, Liza. I love it.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat. I'm Jay Rodriguez with Michaela Gordana.
Oh, who's she? Gordana.
What's your middle name again?
Annalise.
Michaela Annalise Gordon?
Yeah.
I actually like Annalise.
I love Annalise. You know what I wish I... The one thing I wish I would have done, though?
What?
My mom's last name is Cavaricci.
Oh, it's so good.
And I always had Cavaricci.
Let me tell you something. That name...
brings me such Long Island joy.
I'm going to take you to Laguna to meet my family that made those jeans.
Let me
tell you. We'll go to Laguna.
If you do not remember those Cavaricci jeans, and you're not of a certain age, Cavaricci jeans were these jeans that really hit their stride in late 80s, early 90s, and they were not inexpensive. So many brands were knockoffs. And I remember I had one pair of Cavaricci's, and then I had another pair of GC denim or whatever, and they were like a knockoff. They had pleats in them. They had the little tag that said Z Cavaricci. It was insane how coveted those jeans were. And that's actually your legacy.
Yeah, it is my legacy. They live in Laguna now. My uncle, my great uncle Jimmy, I'll take you to go see him.
Have you stolen any that they perhaps have tuckered away somewhere? No.
No, but I got to go see them because they just did a brand new line that actually my little cousin Marlena is now the model for. I'm so mad that I'm not the model. I'm the model, bitch.
How did you not get asked?
I miss it.
You need to insert yourself in there.
I'm offended.
Yes, you are.
I am my drag name.
I mean, how did they not go to you first?
I don't know. I was so mad. But we'll go because it is. I just wish I would have saved my last name, Michaela Annalise Cavaricci.
Oh my God, it sounds so good.
It's good. Is it too late at 31 to change to my mother's maiden name?
Absolutely not.
Rocky Gordon would be so upset.
Well, are you not going to do Pittman? Are you not going to do Lisa?
Well, I told Lisa that why don't we just go both change to Cavaricci?
Agree.
And she said no, she doesn't want to do that.
Why don't you do
you're a hater.
Michaela Annalise Pittman Cavaricci.
Because that's literally a mouthful. Could
How
you imagine?
About Michaela, just legally?
Introducing me, Michaela Annalise Pittman Cavaricci and Jay Rodriguez.
Michaela,
the Morning Beat.
It would be Michaela Pittman Cavaricci. That's not terrible. Just drop the middle name.
We like Annalise.
Oh, geez. You have a lot of names. That's so East Coast. All right. Well, it's time for some news on the beat. So, Michaela Gordon, what are people talking about?
All right, guys. Well, one candidate drops out as another preps to drop in. U.S. Representative Eric Swalwell has ended his bid for the Democratic presidential nomination. Now, Swalwell just flat out failed to gain traction in the race. He told CNN his endorsement of one of the remaining contenders would hinge on the candidate's work to fight gun violence. Meanwhile, billionaire's Tom Steyer has reportedly told his staffers he plans to get into the race. He donated the Democratic candidates for years, as well as to many liberal causes, but he may be best known for starring in a recent series of self-funded TV commercials calling for Trump's impeachment. Moving on, adding homophobia to racism, U.S. Customs and Border Patrol agents made a migrant hold on I Like Men sign as a punishment. Agents at El Paso Processing Center in Texas tried to humiliate a Honduran migrant by making him hold a piece of paper saying, Me gustan los hombres, or I like men, according to CNN. The man was forced to hold the paper while walking a group of newly arrived migrants throughout the detention center. Now, a fellow agent sent an email detailing this incident and more to CNN. He also told them, I am forwarding to the Office of Professional Responsibility, the office charged with looking into these allegations. Now, in the message sent to CNN and later to the Office of Professional Responsibility, the agent named two senior Border Patrol officers and five other agents who saw the alleged incident. According to the witness, he took the note to the senior agent in charge that night, but no action was taken. Now, as such, he reached out to the news reporters and a higher office. The story comes on the heels of the expose of a secret Facebook group run by Border Patrol agents containing racist and vulgar posts by ProPublica last week. All right, you guys, now listen, we have a lot of opportunities for you to do so many fun things this summer, including going to the Hollywood Bowl. Now, July 12th, girls and boys are all going to be having so much fun, and you don't want to miss out because you can win a chance to see Cyndi Lauper live at the Hollywood Bowl. All you have to do is head on over to wearechannelq.com. To make sure you get a chance to see Cyndi Lauper. And if you can't make it this time, don't worry about it. Just keep updated on what's happening at the Hollywood Bowl because Channel Q is always finding a fun way for you to enjoy yourselves. And the Hollywood Bowl is the best. Poppy, isn't it great? You
it's
can just bring your wine, your food.
Yes, you can dine outdoors while you enjoy some great entertainment.
Yeah, we love it. So stick around. We have more for you. And also, we'll be talking about Poppy Rodriguez on KTLA today. Mm-hmm. We're so excited. She's a star. Stick around with a new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
The Morning Beat
with Jay and Michaela.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela. Now, Jay is not here right now because he's actually on KTLA, like almost in just a few minutes. So okay. It's just me, you guys.
What's he doing? A weather report?
Yeah, he's doing a weather report.
Oh, cool.
Taking
good
a
for
look
him.
Outside.
Yeah, no, he's subbing for whoever. He's looking to get on television hosting now.
Nice, cool.
No, so it's just me. But we just had a
not
better conversation.
You. It's great with you.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat with Michaela and Fran Drescher.
I didn't say that.
It's just you and then your impression of Fran Drescher.
Yeah,
that's a great morning show.
It's actually me and my multiple personalities.
Yeah, or you just run clips of Fran Drescher all the time.
And
like
talk back and forth to her.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, wait, this was more fun because you're listening to Ali and Jarrett from Drop the Subject, but we were just talking about our first television crushes. Because your producer has like a total mix of people.
Yeah,
he liked Vanna White.
Which, I mean... I was saying, like, I have such a hard time, but okay, I get it. She was glam. I get it. Okay.
Fran Drescher.
Which, I mean, how could you not?
And then Hillary from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. But that's like a white girl, a black girl, a Jewish girl. Like, he didn't have a type.
It was all over the map. I walked into the studio when you guys were saying, Hillary, I get. And I was like, are we talking about Hillary Clinton? Because I'm like, I get it too. You know what I mean?
I mean, hot pantsuit. Hillary Clinton was a hottie in the day.
Yeah, that would definitely be yours, Allie. Allie, who was your first television crush?
Well, back in my straight days, my first real television crush was Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Oh my God!
He was my guy.
I used to get the Bop magazine and rip it
out.
And Teen Beat.
Every single picture in age order on my wall. And I also, my other one was...
In age order.
I love the work that goes into that.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I realized it was because he had really long hair.
And he kind of looks like a girl.
Yeah, because the other one I was really big into was Zach Hansen. And he kind of looks ladyish too. Yeah.
So who was the first girl?
What's that?
Who was the first girl?
First girl crush was probably Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Ugh. Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, and I was like, she's just so like angsty and innocent and her... Yeah.
She gave good female.
She really did. And she was like so misunderstood and she had those like doughy deer eyes and I was like,
And her body was like unreal. Like she was just perfect. What was that movie she was in with her mom?
Heartbreakers. That movie was so bad, but great.
It didn't matter.
Producer Justin was like, Heartbreakers. I know that one.
With Susan Sarandon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who was yours?
Mario Lopez on the Saved by the Bell.
Yeah. So I liked him too.
I have moments where I realized, oh my God, I've always been gay because I was watching Saved by the Bell and literally my little child mind would always be trying to figure out what the scenario was in this episode that would result in him taking his shirt off.
Oh, wow. But he did that often, didn't he?
Not often enough for me, but yes, often. But like, I was always like, okay, so they're at the Max and they're going to a party. Well, he's probably got to go home, change clothes, take a shower. And I was just like, I was so enamored by Mario Lopez. That was probably like my first like TV crush.
Well, he just had a baby, actually, his third baby. Congratulations.
I don't want to talk about that.
Okay.
Him and that
you know marriage. What?
Maybe
forget
his shirt
it.
Off. He's holding a baby. You know what's great though, Jarrett, is that you can go see him at the Grove any old time.
Any old day.
Is he still at the Grove?
Is it the Grove or...
Oh, yeah.
Universal or wherever it is. Yeah,
I know it was at the Grove.
We got to take
you. So I met Mario Lopez, and, like, he's so, like, pretty that he's not, like, sexy anymore. Like, he's got that amazing body. He's beautiful and, like, but he's, like, so generic to me. Does that make sense?
No, it totally makes sense because I think some people, when they've been on TV for a really long time, they kind of get this weird plasticky look.
Yeah.
Like, they're somehow turning into an action figure before your very eyes.
And, like, I love his voice. Like, mind you, I wouldn't kick him out, but, like, you know.
You're like, no, come over.
Exactly.
That's how I felt about... So I also loved Tiffany Amber Thiessen from back in the day. Like,
okay.
I thought she was so hot. And now she kind of is like a mom. And, like, she is a mom. And that's okay.
Oh, she's a cooking show.
But she, like, cooks.
Yeah. She has a cooking show on the cooking show.
But, like, she cooks.
You're like, oh, my God,
gross.
You're going to make me a meal or are you going to do me? Yeah, I get that.
Well,
I think
we should combine those and make a whole new cooking channel.
Yes.
Oh,
what are you guys talking about
channel.
Today, by the way?
We've got a lot going on.
Did I just cut you off?
No, you're good. No, we've got a lot going on. From a political perspective, we've got one candidate dropped out last night, but the number didn't go down because we had a new one jump in today. We've got Just a Tip Tuesday where we're talking about what to do if your parents don't like your significant other.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. There's a few things that you can do. We have a list for Just the Tip Tuesday. We always go over like life hacks, tips, tricks, advice, you know, things like that. So we're going to talk about what happens when your significant other is not being accepted by your parents and whether you should just call it quits.
And whether or not to tell them.
Yeah, right. To tell them that actually, yes, my parents do hate you.
Would your parents accept Mario Lopez?
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, this is Michaela from The Morning Beat. I gotta go, but you're stuck with Allie and stuck with? Who am I? You're with them. Drop the subject. I gotta go.
This person doesn't even have the power to change the station. I'm stuck with them.
Well, I am the same person who also hates cooks. So, I mean, what do I have to offer?
Apparently.
Have a great rest of your day. Bye.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.